Hey friends, and welcome to It's Better When You're Here podcast. My name is Pastor Michael, and I get to be the pastor of Shepherd's Community United Methodist Church, one church at two locations in Central Florida. This is the sermon that we preach this week. I hope that the message inspires you and encourages you and reminds you that God loves you. All right, here's the message.
I have the distinct honor and privilege of introducing our district superintendent, who is an incredible friend, incredible person, a wonderful preacher. We are welcoming Emily Hotho to give our message this morning, the Reverend Emily Hotho.
Well, 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 everyone, it's great to be here at your Oaks campus. I was over at the chapel location earlier this morning, and it's just my pleasure to fill in for Pastor Michael while he and Amanda and Annabelle are on vacation this morning. So there is a difference, friends, between knowing something in our minds and having it matter in our hearts, right? You know what I mean? Like if I were to ask my phone what the weather is in Cleveland, Ohio, my phone would tell me that it's about 83 this morning in Cleveland. It'll get up that warm today. It was down in the 60s last night. Winds at 9 miles an hour. It's not rained there in the last few days. Maybe next week, though, some rain will come. I might hear that weather report, and I believe it. Sounds true. I have no reason to doubt it. It sounds accurate to me. The thing is, I just don't really care, right? I've never been to Cleveland. I don't live there. I don't know anyone who does. So there is a difference between knowing something to be true and having it matter to us, right? And I think that's kind of true with faith also. I was at a coffee shop on the day after Easter, Easter Monday, and while I was there, I overheard a group of people chatting, and they were trying to figure out why they were off of work on Easter Monday morning. They kept asking each other, they were saying, "What happens to Jesus on the Monday?" And the answer is nothing, really. Some workplaces just give you the Monday off so that you can have a 3 or a 4 day weekend, like nothing special happens to Jesus on Easter Monday. But they didn't know that, so they kept debating it, and they were going over like all the different parts of Holy Week trying to figure out what happened to Jesus on the Monday. They were like, "Is it the thing with the palm branches?" And then someone would say, no, I think that's Palm Sunday. That happened before. Well, it's not when he died. That was Good Friday. Is it the Last Supper thing? No, I think that was earlier. I mean, they went over the Ascension and Pentecost and Lent and Holy Week. Like, they knew a lot of information about Jesus.
Hey friends, it's Pastor Michael. We are just so grateful for every last one of you that listens to the It's Better When You're Here podcast. We are so excited that we get to share in this work of ministry and the messages that are preached every week at Shepherd's Community United Methodist Church. We wanted to give you an opportunity. If you want to be a part of what God is doing here at Shepherd's here in Central Florida, and you would like to give, you can go to shepherdsumc.com/give, and you can find a way to give that way. Any support really helps us produce this podcast, but also helps us love our neighborhood around the world very, very well. So thank you for tuning in, and now back to the podcast.
But what I couldn't tell, and I wouldn't judge, I mean, I don't know them. I was just eavesdropping at a coffee shop while I waited for my drink. But what I don't know is whether it actually mattered to them beyond just an extra day off of work, right? Because there is a difference between knowing and mattering. I think a lot of us know basic stories about Jesus, right? Like a lot of us know things that happened to Jesus, things he said and did. But when it comes down to it, it can feel really far and disconnected from the lives we actually live today, right? We know, but we're not really sure it actually matters. Which is why I love the Bible, which is why I love John's gospel in particular and our scripture today, especially for this question. See, in the Bible, there are four different accounts of the life of Jesus, right? Four gospels. Three of them were written very early in history, just a couple of decades after Jesus died, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And they kind of tell the basic stories, the facts of what happened to Jesus. In fact, they have about 90% of their material in common across these three books. It's kind of like reading three different news stories of something that happened in the world. Like, most of the information is kind of the same. It tells us about the knowing. But John's gospel is different. John is more about the mattering. It was written quite a bit later, many decades after Jesus lived and died. It is more reflective, more interpretive. It is more interested in what Jesus' life, death, and resurrection actually means to us, why it matters. So in John's gospel, in that book, we have seven statements that Jesus made about himself. So in John's gospel, like, he tells us who he is and why he matters. Each one of these seven statements starts the same way with two words, I am. You might have heard some of these statements before. He says, I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the gate. I am the true vine. I am the light of the world. Some of these are sounding familiar, right? Now, this phrasing would have caught the attention of people living in the ancient world because I am was literally a name for God in the Old Testament. Way back in the Old Testament, when Moses was taking God's message to the people, Moses asked God, whom shall I say sent me? And God replied to Moses and said, I am who I am. In Hebrew, that is Yahweh. And that became the holiest and most personal name for God. Throughout the Old Testament scripture, so significant that many Jews, even to this day, would not say it aloud or write it in full out of reverence for this name for God. So along comes Jesus, knowing all of that, along comes Jesus seven times making statements about himself, and he starts them, I am. He's telling people, he's making it very clear, telling people who he is and why he matters. The first one of these statements we're going to look at today, it's found in John chapter 10. Let's take a look. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. And then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also and they too will listen to my voice. And there will be one flock with one shepherd. Does anyone here have sheep? Like, does anyone own sheep here? No? Not at the other campus either. You know, I really thought maybe I'd find someone with a sheep, but no one here has any sheep. Maybe if you think really hard, you can think of someone you know who has some farmland and has some animals somewhere, and they might have a sheep or two. But I'm guessing that no one probably knows anyone firsthand whose full-time professional job here in our neck of the woods is shepherd. We don't really have a lot of shepherds around here in America these days. But back where Jesus was, shepherds and sheep were extremely common. They were a vital part of the economy. They were a food source. They were used for wool. They were used religiously in temple sacrifices. Sheep, if you think about it, they eat mainly grass, which is like basically free, right? Like grass is kind of everywhere. Sheep can have 2 to 3 babies at a time every 5 months. So if you kind of do the math, it is relatively easy to get and keep a lot of sheep and to have that be a viable way to make a living. So a lot of people in the ancient world were shepherds. Sheep need a shepherd. Few reasons why. Sheep are not known to be the most highly intelligent of animals. Not sure if you know that. Sheep are natural followers, so they do better in groups, in herds together. Sheep get easily scared. They get startled very easily, so they prefer to be led from the front rather than herded from behind. That would startle them too much. Sheep also are not real tough. They don't have big claws or big teeth or anything like that, so they can't really fight off enemies. They've got a lot of predators. Lots of animals, like wolves, we read in our scripture, would try to attack them. So a good shepherd, right, would gently lead their group of sheep to a nice green pasture with nice clear water where they could eat and drink and rest in safety. A good shepherd would always be on the lookout for the one who might be wandering a little too far from the group and just kind of bring it back into the fold. A good shepherd would even sleep in the door of the sheep pen at night to keep them protected. A good shepherd would have a staff to pull back the sheep who's about to accidentally wander over a cliff, and a rod to fight off predators who are trying to attack the flock. Sheep aren't too bright, but they have one thing going for them. Sheep have remarkably good hearing. So much so that they can actually distinguish the voice of their individual shepherd. And a good shepherd would know their individual sheep as well. Now, knowing all of this, you can kind of see, right, why Jesus chose this metaphor to describe himself as a good shepherd. This sheep and shepherd imagery of God as a shepherd and people as the flock is really common throughout the Bible. There's dozens of examples. The most common one is probably the 23rd Psalm that you hear all the time at funerals, right? The Lord is my shepherd. Yeah, we all know it. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. There's dozens more examples in the Bible of that metaphor, but did you know that the longest section, a whole chapter of the Bible, that talks about sheep and shepherds is not actually about good shepherds, but instead about bad shepherds? This passage is from Ezekiel chapter 34, and in this passage, God is condemning spiritual leaders of the time who did not care for the people who were struggling and suffering and vulnerable and in need and in poverty all around them. These bad shepherds were only concerned about themselves. So God says this in Ezekiel 34. He says, "Woe to you, shepherds of Israel, who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock?" In this prophecy from Ezekiel, God goes on to condemn these bad shepherds, and God says this: "I myself will search and find my lost sheep." God says, "I myself will find the strays. I myself will bind up the injured." So after going on for a whole paragraph about these bad shepherds who are not caring for the vulnerable in the community, God says, "Hey, bad shepherds, if you're not going to do it, I'm going to come down and do it for you. I myself will lead them to good pastures." God says, "I myself will shepherd this flock." Now, Jesus would have known that passage, right? You think Jesus kind of knew the Old Testament? He did. Every person growing up in Judaism in the first century would have known that passage about these bad shepherds. And then along comes Jesus saying, "I am the good shepherd." Not just a shepherd, not just any shepherd. Not just a good shepherd, not just a nice person or a good teacher or a compassionate caretaker. More than that, when Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd," he is saying that he is the one fulfilling the promises of God to come down to earth, God's self, and shepherd the flocks of humanity. So, now you know some more about sheep and maybe some more about the Bible than you did 15 minutes ago. But the question for us today is, how does this matter in our lives, right? Well, I'll tell you what I think. I think we're not that different from sheep, right? We're not that different from sheep. I think we are all followers of something. We all, by just our human nature, we are all following something or someone. Maybe we're following expectations. Maybe we're following success, pride, achievements. Maybe you're following after someone else's approval or comfort, security, convenience, pleasure, complacency. Could be any number of things. Think for a moment in your own life about what or whom you might be following. Maybe for some of you, what comes to mind is maybe some of you are following a bad shepherd. Things that clearly lead us away from life. Things that are actively hurting you or others. If that is you, it is never too late to stop and change directions. That's actually what the word repent means in the Bible, to turn and go a different way. So if you feel like, oh no, I'm following the wrong shepherd in life, it is never too late. You are in just the right place. It is never too late to turn and go a different way, to follow a different shepherd. A lot of us, though, like maybe we're not following something that's so bad. Evil, sinister. I think a lot of us are just following what, maybe more like what Jesus described as the hired hands. Going back to the scripture we read a couple minutes ago, John 10, verse 12, Jesus said the hired hand, he doesn't own the sheep. So when a wolf shows up, that guy's running away. Hired hand isn't out to harm the sheep. He's not bad. He just won't lay down his life for them. I think a lot of us are following something that is like these hired hands. Good things, fine things in life, things that may guide us for a season, but ultimately are not going to save us when something goes wrong. Even more of us, I think, you guys are the ones sitting in church in summer in Florida while your pastor is out of town. Like, you guys are really good. I think a lot of you here this morning, like, you're the sheep. You're following the shepherd, Jesus. You're part of the flock. But I think some of us, if we're honest, are maybe like the little sheep way in the back of the flock, just kind of following the sheep in front of us. Who's following the sheep in front of them? Who's following the sheep in front of them? Maybe we're the one who wanders off from time to time. Maybe we're so far in the back of the flock that we don't really hear the shepherd's voice. Not really. We're hearing like an echo of his voice. Maybe that looks like someone who is kind of Christian by default because their parents were and their parents were before that. Maybe that looks like someone who's trying to live by good values most of the time, but they don't really feel too connected to the shepherd or the flock. Maybe it looks like what we talked about at the beginning, that we know some things about faith, but it doesn't really matter to us yet. If that is you this morning, we can listen again to Jesus' words. He says, "I am the good shepherd." There's a shepherd who loves you. I wonder this morning, can you hear his voice? Can you feel his closeness to you? He is leading you through this life. If only you will listen a little harder, come a little closer, be a little more engaged in following him. You can hear his voice this morning through the scriptures, through worship, through prayer, through this wonderful community. You can hear his voice. You can follow him by serving your neighbors in need, by living lives of compassion. Jesus is the good shepherd. Now that we know, will it matter? And that part of the story is up to us. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Hey friends, thank you so much for joining us this week. I hope that this message connected with you and inspired you. Please reach out to us on social media or through our website. We would love to know if this is your church family. If this message meant something to you, please share it with someone that you know or you love, or share it on social media. We know that it would be so much better with you here, so much better with the whole world, knowing of God's great love for all of us. Have a great week. Be blessed.